Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live, second hour, having a great big Friday here. I am Cy Kellett, and in studio, joined by Tim Staples, our Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers. This hour is open forum, but if you haven't been with us for the previous hour, you will notice a theme in the questions to start the show, I'm sure, at least through the first, maybe even second segments, because we were talking about Humanae Vitae last hour, and in kind of recognition of that important anniversary that we celebrate this week, 50 years of Pope Paul VI's important encyclical. I didn't want anybody to go away without getting their question answered or having their concern heard. So we'll take all those calls as well, the Humanae Vitae questions from last hour. If you have a question about any aspect of the Catholic faith, whether you're Catholic or not, you are welcome to call this hour as well, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. 318-7884. And again, I would like to especially extend that invitation to non-Catholics, non-Christians, anybody. You're welcome to call. Catholics, of course, usually feel particularly welcome because the name of the show is Catholic Answers Live, but anybody can call. We'd love to talk with you about any aspect of the life, the faith, the history of the Catholic Church. 888-318-7884. Tim, as I said, we got a lot of questions left over from last hour.
Yes.
Shall we get to them?
Let's do it.
All right, let's go to Wesley in Erie, Pennsylvania. Wesley, you're up first this hour with Tim Staples. Your question, please.
Thank you, gentlemen. My question is, how can we get the truth of what the Pope proclaimed in that very important message out into the common culture? I'm not a Catholic. But he's exactly right. My sister has 12 children, and we have four children. We only had two children to start with, but I had to pray my life into having more children. And I had a conviction that we needed, you know, that the Lord wanted us to have more children. And the Pope proclaimed it exactly accurately. And the truth of Scripture is that we should follow exactly what he said, and that procreation is extremely important, and the end of the act, and what the Lord gave us the gift of sexual relations for. How can we get this message, which is an accurate, truthful, theological, moral, societal question, out into the general discussion more?
You know, that is such a profound question, and what immediately comes to mind is something that Kimberly Hahn has said many times over the years. I remember the first time I heard her say it was at a family conference, and how appropriate when she had her book come out, many years ago, in the Proverbs 31, you know, and it was, or it might have been a tape set. But Kimberly Hahn said it, my friend, so powerfully, we are going to change this world one diaper at a time, right?
That's great.
And I love that line. And of course, what she means by that is, you know, we can talk about how we need to present the truths of Humanae Vitae. And by the way, kudos to Costi Canubi as well, of Pius
XI,
which Paul VI references and alludes to, that had already proclaimed the essential truth back in 1930. But what she was saying is, not only do we need to proclaim these essential truths, and they are profound, and they're not understood, and that's part of how we're going to heal folks. You know, we talked about this last time I was on, Cy, how that when you look at the Gospels and see, and Jesus was moved with pity,
right?
If you do a little search in your New Testament, you'll discover he was moved with pity, and he healed them in one place. But in another place, in Mark chapter 6, he was moved with pity, and he began to teach them many things, right? Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So, you know, that's part of the answer, is to proclaim the truth in a concise and understandable way. We need to be able to do that. But I am a firm believer in the wisdom of Kimberly Hahn, man, that I think the most profound way we will communicate this message is when we have those 11 kids, 12 kids, you know. I'm a bit deprived. My wife and I only have 7, you know. But you know what? When folks see, and I could give you an example examples in my own life of sharing with folks, and I do it everywhere I go. I mean, I was having therapy for my shoulder yesterday, and I was talking to the therapist who was working on my shoulder about the 7 kids, and you see her light up because there's something, even in the secular mind for the most part. Now, you'll have some that will, how can you think of having 7 kids? You
right,
know,
right.
What about your carbon footprint? And yeah, you do have that. But I find the majority of people go, wow. And they want to know, man, how do you do that? And then you just start sharing of the joys and being able to, you know, I come home and see my kids as Mitt Romney. I've said this before. I remember Mitt Romney years ago said, there's nothing like coming home to a pile of kids, right? To a pile of kids, you know, the kids jumping on you and you're taking them to the beach and doing this or that. I mean, of course there's hard times, heartaches and everything that comes with having these kids. But come on, that's all part of the dance, man.
Yeah.
This is part of what life is all about. And so when we live life, we have big families, that can be the most powerful way of communicating the truth, because there is something that strikes a chord just by walking out into the street with 7 kids following
right.
you,
right.
you know, and with stroller and so forth. It strikes a chord because there's something within us. It's called natural law that knows that human life is special. It is good. And man, I want some of that.
Wesley, what do you make of that?
I think you're exactly right. And it occurs to me while I heard you articulate that your program is the answer to my question. Thank you.
Praise well, thank God. You. And hang on, because I forgot to say this at the top of the hour, but we want to send the case for contraception, the case against contraception.
Wrong show, Si. Wrong show.
No, that's a different network. Actually, that's pretty much every other network. The case against contraception, Trent Horn's DVD and Inseparable, 5 Perspectives on Sex, Life, and Love in Defense of Imani Vitae, the book, the brand new and beautiful book from Catholic Answers Press. Everybody who gets on the air with Tim this hour gets those two things. Hang on, Wesley, we'd like to give those to you. 888-318-7884, our number. We're talking about Imani Vitae right now, but it's open forum. If you've got other things you want to ask about, that you're welcome to do that as well. Sean in Kansas City listening on 1090 AM. You are up with Tim Staples. Your question, Sean.
Thank you, and good afternoon, gentlemen.
Thank you. You too.
My question is, I get into discussions with people about abortion, and even though I can describe why abortion is not the way to go, it always seems to boil down to, what about the cases of incest and rape?
Right. Right.
And I don't have a clear way to answer that.
Right.
Or one that I think, and I can read everything I want on the internet, but
yes. Well, let me give it a shot here, Sean. I think one way to approach this is I would make 2 essential points. Number one, I would point out what a lot of folks don't know. The American bishops have on their website a teaching that has not been affirmed by the universal church, but it certainly is taught by the American bishops, as I said, and by a lot of moral theologians, and that is this. In the case of rape, what you have is, well, now this part is the teaching of the universal church. Rape is not a conjugal act. That is an essentially different thing. It is not a conjugal act. It's an act of violence. And so when it comes to, now we'll get to abortion here, the contraceptive, quote unquote, end. All right, when a woman is being raped, does she have to, once the man penetrates, oh, well, all bets are off now. I just have to lay here and take it because I can't cause him to spill his seed on the ground. No, she can fight him with everything she's got. I recommend women take martial arts so you can put a hurting on that dude. And it doesn't matter if he, quote unquote, spills the seed or whatever, because that is not a conjugal act. That is an act of violence. And even if the act is unfortunately consummated. The American bishops have said, and many moral theologians agree, that you can actually use, as long as it can be, you know, certain that ovulation has not occurred and there's no chance of a conception, you can even impede his seed from further penetrating using whatever means, right? So, I mean, that's an interesting thing, isn't it? That the church, she, you know, is our mother, and she thinks about these things, and what can we do in these situations? However, I think, Sean, this is the key. Once conception happens, no matter if it's rape or incest, then all bets are off because we have a new human being who had nothing. See, you can eliminate body tissue that comes from your assailant, you know, semen and such, where you can't if it's a conjugal relationship, right?
Yes.
Because of the essential difference between the actions. But once there's a conception of a human being, then I say all bets are off because it's no longer about an act of violence and invasive penetration. It's about now we have a separate and totally innocent human being. And so you can never, and Sean, this is the point we have to make to folks, you can never kill that innocent human being. He didn't do anything. He or she didn't do anything wrong. You don't kill the child because of the sin of its father. Its father raped its mother, and that's a horrible, or his father or mother, or her father or mother, and that's a horrible thing. But my goodness, you don't multiply the problem by now introducing the murder of an innocent baby. And I find in the matter of abortion, Sean, it really always comes back to that. Do we have a human being or not? Science tells us yes. As Pope St. John Paul the Great says so prophetically and powerfully in paragraph 60 of his great encyclical letter, The Gospel of Life, Evangelium Vitae, what a brilliant document that is. In paragraph 60, he says, science has confirmed what we have known, right, from day one, that at the point, at the moment of conception, I mean, DNA proves this, you know, science proves this, we have an individual human being that is not its mother and it is not its father. It is a male or female, has a mommy and a daddy, and there is no way we can kill that innocent child. Does that kind of make sense, Sean?
That is an awesome explanation. Very good.
I appreciate that, Sean.
Thanks,
God
Sean.
Bless you.
Thank you very, very much. Hey, Tim, I wanted to ask you about you. We got the big, you know, the conference is 2 months away, like from today. Today is 2 months. It's 60 days till the conference.
Time is flying.
But you missed last year's. So
yes.
How are you feeling about going this year?
I've warned people.
Get out of the way.
I'm going to grab hold of that microphone and I may not let go. No, I am really excited about this conference. Faith and science is a hugely important topic. We have some dynamic, powerful speakers ready. It's going to be an awesome conference.
As I said, it's 2 months away, September 27th through 30th at the Hyatt Regency La Jolla in beautiful and sunny San Diego, as we like to say about our town. Stacey Trisankos will be there, Father Terrence Ehrman, Cardinal Burke will be there giving the keynote address. There'll be square dancing with Jimmy Akin. Tim will talk, Jimmy will talk, Trent, Carlo, our president, Chris Check, our chaplain, Father Hugh Barber, all will be speaking there. We'll be doing the show live there on Friday afternoon, and all the questions will come from the audience. You just have to walk up to the microphone, go to CatholicAnswersConference.com and register today, CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Your questions, Catholic Answers, live.
St. John Paul II stated that, for the disciple of Christ, evangelization is a duty, an obligation of love. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church states that evangelization is necessary for salvation.
So we know we're called, but how do we do it?
St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. To learn more, contact us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic.
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to
a
priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to wreck?
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are
committed. As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Tonight, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, open forum this hour with our guest, Tim Staples, who is also the Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers. All mistakes are run by him before we make them. 888.
But wait, what about when I make them?
888-318-7884. The number. We go now to Jim in Boise, Idaho, listening on Salt and Light Radio. Jim, your question for Tim.
Thank you. Tim, I don't know if you've ever looked at the original structure of Humanae Vitae, but I've used it many times with ladies that have been trying to get pregnant, these patients of mine.
Right.
And I'll read out of them those first three paragraphs about married love. Is that personal, wonderful personal friendship and
yes.
conjugal love. And then they are able to conceive because yes. they're falling in love with their spouse again.
Yes.
For the right reasons.
Beautiful, Jim.
And I love that. And
yes.
I have done that for about 50 couples. And
yeah.
it's so wonderful.
Oh, my gosh.
And
yes.
then the last hour, there was a fellow that brought up the idea of, is an NFP a sense of contraception? Well, in my reading of Humanae Vitae, it says we need to be open to the transmission of life. And your answer was cogent and wonderful and a lot more theological than I could ever get. But I talk about this idea of being open to the transmission of life.
Yes.
And really, what is NFP, and I want your take on this, is no more than a thermometer or a gauge of when that transmission can be done.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't really a means of contraception.
That's right.
And I'll just get off the air and you can answer that.
Oh, yeah. Jim, two things jump out at what you said. Number one, I cannot agree with you more about those first three paragraphs and beyond in Humanae Vitae. And I'll tell you an anecdote with me and my wife. When we first got married, I went into the marriage and I used to joke about with my wife, I want to have a football team, man. I want 11 kids, you know, and we couldn't get pregnant, you know. We tried and we tried and we tried and we couldn't get pregnant. And it went on for a long time. In fact, we would find that we were married in 2000, and we finally did have a miscarriage, which was incredibly painful, even more so for my wife than me, but incredibly painful. But we actually rejoiced because, number one, we have a soul in heaven, and two, we can get pregnant. But then again, it seemed to take forever. And I will tell you, my friend, that it was when, and I can remember the night. I mean, we went to Rome. We prayed to St. Gerard. We asked Padre Pio to adopt us as his spiritual children and give us a baby. You know, I mean, we're going every yeah. which way but loose, right?
Using all the Catholic stuff.
All that. We're praying to every saint there is, man. But it was one night, and I remember it well. I'm getting goosebumps right now. When it hit me that I was not doing what Pope Paul VI talks about there,
yeah,
in a loving relationship that brings children. But it, you know, you fall into this. We got to get pregnant. You know, we got to get yeah. pregnant. And it was one night when I said to my wife, I will never forget it, and she won't either. With tears in my eyes, I said, "Honey, I just want you to know I love you."
Yeah.
And whether we have a child or not, I love you. And it was just like a break. We both started crying. And about a month later, we got pregnant.
Isn't that beautiful?
You know, Timmy came, yeah. Timmy came along. But I mean, I think there's something profound. I mean, physiologically, we know, right, that if you're tense and uptight, that will keep, you know, that can keep things from happening. Because, you know, that's the body's way of saying, you know, things aren't quite right here.
Yeah.
all this tense, now's not the time to have a baby. But if you're really in love and you're loving and you're relaxed, your body is going to let go,
mm-hmm.
and things will happen. But of course, you also, Jim, I think most importantly, in that process, you invite God in. Amen. Because yeah. as Bishop Sheen said, it's three to get married. Well, guess what? It takes the three to get pregnant as well.
Amen.
You
right.
got to let God in. So, I mean, I think, you know, what you said there, Jim, is absolutely powerful. But then the other thing, yeah, the openness of to life, Jim, is absolutely crucial. Because, and I want to emphasize here, when I said to that caller earlier, you don't have to intend to have a baby with every act. You don't. Because you can have, but that doesn't mean you're closed to life. You are open to life with every act. And you demonstrate that by respecting the wife cycle and so forth. But you also know that now is not the time because God has put his plan in here, and this is the time when she can't get pregnant. And so you can, in fact, use the cycle in that context to control the number of children, right? So, I mean, I know this, people get mad at me when I say this, but you can actually have birth control without having contraception, right?
Yes, and
birth control simply means you're controlling because you've discerned with your spouse that we are not ready to have a child right now, and so we're not going to have conjugal relations during her fertile period. That doesn't mean you're not open. You're open because you're respecting God's plan and her cycle and so forth. I am open to life, but I'm also respecting God's will for our marriage right now. So I love the fact that Jim called in with that, the importance of being open to life. Absolutely. One last little anecdote, if I
yeah.
could. In the case of Josephite marriages, right, where, you know, folks don't have conjugal relations. We have many examples. There's one really popular, Joseph and Mary, right?
Oh, yeah.
People will ask, well, how is that a valid marriage if they don't consummate and if they don't have conjugal relations? Well, it is a valid marriage because they are open. Mary and Joseph, if God would have said to them, guess what, you're going to have the Messiah by having conjugal relations, they would have said, okay, and they were open, but they're open to God's will. And God intervened in that situation and said, guess what? I got a different plan for you two.
right?
And then the result is our salvation. Well, guess what? God does that in marriages. I mean, Jacques Maritain and his wife,
yep.
you know, they lived a Josephite marriage, and by golly, there was a lot of fruits in that
right,
marriage,
right.
spiritual fruits that changed the world. This Dr. Warren Carroll and his wife Anne, you know, also. Look, they gave birth to how many children through Christendom College and now graduate school and all the rest. But great, great call, Jim. Thank you.
I hope you didn't go away, Jim, because if you're still there on the line, hang on, because we want to send you with the DVD and the book, brand new items on contraception from Catholic Answers Press. Tim, I'm going to read you a question now. It's open
yep.
forum, and so this is on a different topic, and this is from Benjamin in Indiana watching on YouTube. It says here he's a Protestant about to convert. I know and accept in my mind the truth of the real presence in the Eucharist, but I still have trouble accepting in my heart, really feeling the truth of it. I know we shouldn't rely on feelings, but it seems like I'm not able to feel the proper reverence in my heart for the Eucharist. How long did it take for you, Tim, to have the truth in your heart? How long does it take most?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's a great question. I will tell you this. The way I came to see the reality of the Eucharist to a great extent came from my reading of the early church fathers. When I read, for example, St. Ignatius of Antioch, and I believe it's in his letter to the Smyrnians there in section 8, as I recall. I could be wrong there, but I think so. He's referring to the Gnostics, you know, who denied the real presence of our Lord in the Eucharist, because in this instance, they didn't even believe Jesus had a physical, or the Christ had a physical body at all. So obviously they would reject the Eucharist as well. He says, and I quote, "They abstain from the Eucharist and from prayer because they deny that the Eucharist is the flesh of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the same flesh which suffered and died for our sins. Oh my goodness, I remember reading that, and I kept pouring through the Fathers of the Church, then reading St. Justin Martyr and his first apology, where he goes into detail of how Christians celebrate the Eucharist and the real presence and such, St. Irenaeus, St. Clement, and on down through the list. You know, it's for me, it was, oh my gosh, I'm discovering all Christians believed this. And even the heretics, the Nestorians, for example, believed in the real presence. You have in the Orthodox, who would split with us, everybody believes this. And then for me, I go back to the Gospels. Jesus says, this is my body. I go to 1 Corinthians 10:15. It's a participation in the body and blood of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 11:29. If you reject this, you're not discerning the body of the Lord. I was overwhelmed by the Word of God in the teaching of the fathers.
Thank you, Benjamin. We'll be right back with more Open Forum with Tim Staples right after this.
Is the church wrong on contraception? In a culture that worships the pursuit of sexual pleasure, the Catholic Church's teaching on contraception can seem archaic and unintelligible. Its critics say it's outdated, theologically unfounded, and even harmful. And even faithful Catholics can have difficulty explaining this moral teaching. Catholic Answers is out to change all of that. That's why we've just released Trent Horn's dynamic new DVD, The Case Against Contraception. Using scripture, papal and magisterial teachings, natural law, and new insights provided by social science and medicine, Trent puts forward a compelling case for Catholic teachings with his trademark charity and persuasive graciousness. Be prepared to give a defense. Order your copy of The Case Against Contraception today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hey everyone, this is Carlo Broussard, and I'm here to tell you about a very special promotion we look forward to every year, our annual store-wide summer sale in the online shop at Catholic.com. This spectacular online event includes savings of 10 to 25% and more in some cases on every book, track, CD, DVD, ebook, and MP3 we carry, including my new book, Prepare the Way. With lower prices and a great selection, it's by far the best online Catholic sale of the summer. So log on now and all this month to the shop at shop.catholic.com and take advantage of our very special prices. You know it's all good stuff because it's from the people you know and trust at Catholic Answers.
Looking for an on-fire Catholic speaker for your event? Catholic Answers speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
I'm Tom Price.
And I'm Gloria Purvis. Monday, Monsignor Charles Pope.
Along with Father Thomas Morrow talking about amazing saints. It's Morning Glory, 7 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Having a super fun Friday here in the studio at Catholic Answers Live. Some visitors earlier. That's always nice when we have folks in the studio with us while we're doing the show. If you ever want to come here and join, just give a call to Catholic Answers Live. You can find, to Catholic Answers. You can find the number online or go to the website and let somebody know you want to come. They'll give you the tour of the place, and then you can hang out here in the studio with us, which always makes us feel good. Our number, 888-318-7884. And our topic, well, whatever's on your mind, anything you'd like to know about the Catholic faith, we'd like to help you get an answer because it's open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. We go to Zach now in Hagerman, Idaho, listening on Salt and Light Radio. We are big on Salt and Light Radio today. I'm glad to hear it. Zach, your question for Tim.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Sorry to break the Humanae Vitae pattern here.
That's all right. That's all right.
I actually have a question about Mary.
Okay.
Now, I know that when Mary was immaculately conceived, it was done, you know, because Jesus applied His Grace from the Cross to that, and I recognize that if anybody from history should have been the Immaculate Conception, Mary seemed a pretty good choice, but I'm wondering why, since God doesn't seem like he had to be limited to one person,
right?
Why he didn't just apply that sort of grace to everybody.
Great question.
Without, because it seems like it didn't trample on Mary's free will, so it wouldn't seem like it would have trampled on ours either.
Great question, man. And let me toss out an idea. The Catechism of the Catholic Church in paragraph 1861 makes a profound statement. It's one of these statements where you wish, we need to flesh this out some more. When it says, mortal sin is the radical possibility. It is made possible by the reality of free will, as is love itself, right? So mortal sin as well as love are the radical possibilities made possible because of free will. Now, you're right, my brother. When I say I wish the, you know, we would have fleshed this out a little more in paragraph 1861, there's a profound truth here. Now, you're right. Wait a minute. I get the fact that mortal sin is made possible, but love is made possible because of free will. I mean, come on. You know, we have in God himself, he is love, right? He doesn't have free will in the sense that he can choose contrary to his nature, right? But he still is love, right? And you're right. God could have created us in such a way that we would all freely choose love, right? And so freedom there is, I think the answer is this, and I think what the Catechism is getting at here when it says the reality of human freedom makes possible love itself, it's, I would have added, if I had a say in writing the Catechism, thank God I didn't, you know, but I would say love as we know it, right?
Okay.
Because it's possible God could have made us in any number of ways, and yes, no evil and such, but we would be lessened. My argument is we would be lessened as human beings, and God willed greatness for us. Why do I say that? Because without the freedom that is actually actualized in both mortal sin and, you know, in let's put it this way, in the greatness of Mother Teresa and in the depravity of Adolf Hitler, that creates this hierarchy of being whereby we become greater as human beings because we experience it. If everybody is just at the same level, in fact, we know one of the ways God reveals his glory is in his creation. The fact that there are levels of creation, the animals and the rocks and the trees, that, you know, the psalmist tells us the rocks cry out, you know, speak the glory of God. How do they do that? Just in their being, right? And to different degrees and different ways. We see God's glory in a rock. We see his glory in an ant. We see his glory in a dog. We see his glory in a human being. And so without those levels of being, we don't see the glory of God in the same way that we do because of those levels of being. And I argue that's, you know, of course, the Catechism, this is just one little sentence here, but I think that's what it's getting at here, that God, in his infinite wisdom, willed for there to be a freedom that has the real possibility of a fall, and there was a fall, because God knows in that mankind will be greater than they would have been without, because we have to, you know, we can think about just the levels of being and the greatness of God being revealed in that, but also the fact that we have to overcome. See, we have to overcome things that Mary did not. Now, does that mean we're greater than Mary? No, it doesn't. Mary's the greatest. She's the pinnacle of creation. But the fact is, Mary herself is greater because she sees all of the levels of being, and she can have compassion on those who have fallen. Those who are not immaculately conceived makes her even greater than she would have been.
Yeah.
If that doesn't exist. At any rate, I know this is a profound question. It's something that, you know, Catholics can disagree with here and there. But do you kind of get the sense of what I'm getting at?
Yeah, yeah, I think I do. Thank you.
All right.
All right, Zach, hang on, because we're giving away a free book and DVD if you want it. You got to give your address to Thomas. He'll take that. We appreciate the call. It is open forum this hour on Catholic Answers Live. Tim Staples, our guest. Mary in Colorado, listening on 1060 AM, is up next. Mary, your question for Tim.
My question has to do with how a woman in perimenopause can follow the NFP stand on that. It's something that I want to do, to stay in communion with the church, to receive the Eucharist, but also maintain my marital harmony. And I know you're supposed to have 12 months of no cycle. So if you could help guide me with that and how to get information, I have.
You mean that you have 12 months of no cycle means that you will have entered menopause?
That's what they say, to wait 12 months.
Right.
Nothing.
Okay, so you're in the year or years prior to that, and so it's harder for
that's
you
correct.
To it's harder for you to track your cycle right now.
Right.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay. So what does she do?
You know what? I would recommend you, because this one's definitely over my head. I would recommend you call or get in contact with CULFS.
That's Culture of Life Family Services.
Right, Culture of Life. And I think their website is
culfs.org.
But Dr. George Delgado, Dr. Soroki, and I think they have others there now, as I recall. But they're great. And they have an open line as well. You can contact them and ask them these kinds of questions, because that definitely is something that's above my pay grade.
Okay.
Okay. Thank
you so much. Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mary. It's also true, Tim, Mary's question reminds me of this, that in Humani Vitae, Pope Paul VI asked doctors and scientists to find ways to help clarify when times are fertile and when they're not.
Right.
And that great progress has been made in that, with tools like thermometers, better understandings of mucus and all these things.
Yes.
But we're not, like one thinks, well, we're in the midst of fully learning. But
sure,
there are still things that scientists could
Absolutely.
Do, and they should still. And this to me is one of the problems with the widespread contraception, is there's no incentive for very great scientists and doctors to do the research that helps a woman like Mary, who
yes.
says, wait, hey, I'm in perimenopause here. I'm having trouble
right.
tracking my cycle. What can I do?
Yeah, and we just had recently a woman, oh gosh, I think it was 47 years old, that got pregnant. Now, and that's natural, not by in vitro and such, because now it's happening in the 50s and whatnot. But even naturally, as late as 47, becoming pregnant, you know, wow. And so, you know, these are questions, because a woman at that age, maybe, I don't know that particular case, but my wife Valerie and I were actually searching on using Google to see who is the oldest woman to get pregnant. And of course we have some really old ones by in vitro and things like that. But naturally it was like 47 years old, not too long ago. I mean, if you have medical problems and you're 47 years old, I mean, that is certainly a time to perhaps think about NFP. But if you have trouble tracking your symptoms and such, you know, that's a real issue. And I don't know if there's an answer for her, but I guarantee you Dr. George Delgado is the guy has it, if it's there.
And it's also the case that a lot of mothers maybe don't have all of the information to transmit to their daughters, because in the 1970s, maybe, say you're the mom, in the 1970s, they did not have as many tools, as much understanding as they have today. So you don't want to think
close.
Of NFP as like the rhythm method or something. It's
right.
not.
It's not.
That's not what we're talking about.
That's right.
There are various methods of tracking woman's cycle and using natural family planning, but all of them are more effective than the rhythm method.
Oh, my goodness. And can I say, too, NFP is not just for avoiding pregnancy.
Oh, right, right.
It's for getting pregnant.
Yeah.
I mean, that my wife and I used NFP in order to get pregnant. But I will, with Timmy, but I will tell you this. Once we had our breakthrough, we didn't have any more problems, Si. I mean, we, babies just came. We joke. I walk past her in the kitchen and she gets pregnant. You know, I don't know. Hey, wait a minute. How did that? We've got 7 kids now from the ages 14 down to 1. So do the math. They came pretty quick.
Yeah.
It's 14, 12, 10, 7, 5, 3, 1. So, yeah, we had no more problems after that.
I want to remind folks everything at, well, not everything, but almost everything. There's probably one or two things that aren't, but almost everything is on sale at our shop, shop.catholic.com. 10 to 25% off books, DVDs, audio, video, everything. But right now, as we approach the last days of this summer sale, it ends when July ends. You get an extra 10% off just by putting in a promo code SAVE. So you don't need any promo code for the summer sale savings, but you get an extra 10% when you check out and put in the promo code SAVE. So shop.catholic.com. Think about it this
Wait
weekend.
A minute. You mean on top of the already discounts?
Yes. On
you
top
get
of
another 10%?
Yes. And we're folks, taking it out of your salary, Tim.
Folks.
Oh, sorry.
You got to go to Catholic.com.
Shop.catholic.
There you go.
.com. That's the shop. We'll be right back with more Open Forum with Tim Staples right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Isn't it awesome that we today do not recognize his presence in the Eucharist? Is it because we really don't go to him in humbleness of heart and say, Lord, I don't believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I want to see you. I want to recognize you. I cannot live without you. Are we saying that?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Closing out the work week on a high note. We got Tim Staples here. We're taking calls on any part of the life or faith of the Catholic Church because it's open forum. And we go now to Connor in New York, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Connor, your question for Tim.
Hey.
Hey.
Could I change my question?
We'll have to go to the judges.
Yes.
Yes, the judges say yes.
Yes.
So, well, a previous caller talked about how God is love. He was a Protestant. I don't understand. Like, I thought God was also justice and mercy and, like, you know, I don't understand how love can be God.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, and it's not, we don't say love is God. We say God is love, and they're very different things, because love can exist. You have human love, right? God is not human love, but God can, by his grace, by his power, and the power of the Holy Spirit, imbue the divine love into our human love to, you know, lift it up to something that it was not before. And by participation, then, we experience the divine love and the divine life. That's why we don't say love is God. We say God is love. And why is that? Because God is revealed as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He is love because the Father eternally loves the Son. The Son eternally loves the Father. The Father and the Son eternally love the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit eternally loves the Father and Son. And so God is love itself. Now, when we say, you know, God is justice, we will say God is just, right? God is good. And there is a sense in which you can say God is goodness and God is justice. But you don't find that in sacred scripture. You don't find in the same way that you find God is love. And I think there's something profound to that I need to work out in my in my mind. But certainly, God is the, you know, as the creator, he is justice in the sense that the justice that we experience, if there is justice, it's a participation in his infinite justice. So in that sense, we can say God is justice, he is goodness, he is beauty, he is truth, and everything that we experience in all of those transcendentals that we talk about, truth, beauty, goodness, or as Father Spitzer adds, love itself, in these transcendentals that are absolute and infinite and unconditional, they have as their source Almighty God. So it's in that sense that we say God is love because he is real. Here, and let me toss this out to you. Is this Connor, right?
Yep.
Well, Connor, let me toss this out to you too. That it's only in Christianity that you find this revelation that God is love. You don't have that in the Old Testament. It doesn't exist. Nowhere does it say God is love. Islam, God is not love. Nowhere do you see in Hinduism, Buddhism, any, only in Christianity. And that is because of the revelation of God as three persons. Because really, in order to be love, love by definition is to will the good of the other. Right, or as St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:5, love considers not its own interest, right? It pours itself out into the other. So it's only with the revelation of God as three persons that God can, in fact, be revealed as love. So there's a profound truth here. Does that help at all, Connor?
Yeah, I love that.
Nice.
All right.
And my second question is, if you guys got time for it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, wanted to know, I converted recently, and I'm really on fire for the Catholic faith. And I know
God.
That, like, Mary is, like, the number one saint, and John the Baptist is, like, the number two saint. How do I become, like, the number three saint?
Yes. Well, that's God's business as far as the hierarchy of being, right? So you and I don't have a choice as to what gifts God gives us. Now, I would tweak your hierarchy there a little bit. I would say Mary number one, Saint Joseph number two. But we could argue that. But you know, the point is though that what we are called to do as Catholic Christians is cooperate with the gifts that God gives us. God is the giver of the gift. I love the image, Connor, maybe you've heard this before, St. Teresa of Avila gives, how that, you know, we are, you know, one of us might be a bucket, mm-hmm. right? Another, a little thimble, she says, right? We can't choose whether we're a bucket or a thimble, but what we can do is when God pours his grace into whether we're a big old bucket or a little tiny thimble, we can use what God gives us and cooperate with it so that we are filled to the brim with God's love and God's grace as that bucket or thimble or whatever we are, right? So that's the key, is that we cooperate with the gifts that we have as much as we can so that we experience the most of God's love this side of the veil, so we will attain the highest place, if you will, or state of being that we can when we go to heaven.
Connor, thanks. I'm going to keep moving because we're getting near the end of the hour, and I want to get to Mike in Moscow, Pennsylvania, watching on YouTube. Mike, thanks for being with us. Your question for Tim.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
I'm wondering if you're familiar with the Catholic doctrine. It's called the fewness of the saved.
Oh, boy. Yes. Well, it's
supposedly backed by a few of the saints, and I just don't think it could be possible.
Right. Well, let's point this out. First of all, that's not a Catholic doctrine. You know, the Catholic Church has no formal teaching on whether, you know, the majority of human beings will end up in hell. In fact, the Catholic Church has never formally defined any particular individual being in hell, not even Judas. The church has never said, Judas is in hell. Doesn't look good for him. Doesn't look good. You know, but having said that, the church has taught that there are people in hell. In fact, I wrote a blog post about that, Are There Souls in Hell, on In fact, I have it on both Catholic Answers and my Catholic.com and TimStaples.com, where I talk about that. The church has taught that there are souls in hell. There will be souls in hell. But the church has never defined whether is it going to be 30%, 51%, 49%, you know, 10%. You know, the church simply has never said that. Now, you do have fathers of the church definitely saying there will be more. Thomas Aquinas, famously a doctor of the church, talks about how, and tell you the truth, I just don't agree with St. Thomas on this point. Oh, I say that with trepidation.
No lightning hit. Okay,
with trepidation, I should say. In this sense, that Thomas says, you know, one-third of the angels fell. We see that in Revelation chapter 12. But with men, he uses Matthew 7:13, great is the way that leads to destruction. There will be many there. Narrow is the way. There will be few there, to say that most humans will end up in hell. And he argues that it's because of the inferiority of human nature. Human nature is inferior. That's why most of them will go to hell, whereas only one-third of the angels, because they have a superior nature. You know, the argument, if you follow it, accept the first principles, it makes sense. I just, you know what? This is a matter, Mike, that is debated within the church, and Catholics can legitimately disagree with each other. You have Pope Benedict, who I believe in Spe Salvi, famously said, you know, he believes that you have a very small number that immediately go to heaven. You have a relatively small number that go to hell, and the majority he has going to purgatory. Mm. And that's a magisterial document. It's not definitive and such. But I will tell you, he caused me to rethink things, because I, maybe it's from my Pentecostal and evangelical upbringing, but I was quick on the draw to say, most people are going to hell, glory to God. But, but you know, the
I like
more
that you added glory to
that's
God.
That's right, glory to God, because they're going to give glory to God in hell, I guarantee that. And of course, there's truth there, because yeah, God's justice is revealed in, you know, even the condemned. So God will be glorified, not only in his angels and his saints, but also in the condemned, because God's justice. And I get all that. But I personally, I struggled with that for years, but I tend to agree with Pope Benedict on that, that while absolutely there are souls in hell and there will be, I look at Jesus on the cross and I have, and for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I look at 1 Timothy 2:4, God wills that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I look at 2 Peter 3:9, God does not will any to be lost, but for all to come to repentance. And I struggle with how in the world can most... Now, of course, we have free will, so we can reject God. I get that,
yeah,
too. But I just believe with God's grace and such, let's just say I struggle with that. God bless Ralph Martin. He's written tremendous on this. You know, he is of the... You know, you could say traditional view of the early fathers on this, that most will go to hell. I tend to not agree with that. But one thing I know is this: we need to evangelize everybody, because the fact is a whole lot of folks, as Our Lady told the children at Fatima, they're dropping into hell like snowflakes. And sins, you know, the venial sins are a big reason why. And that was in 1917. Imagine what's going on right now. I mean, folks, whatever you believe on this issue, if you don't believe it's absolutely urgent to evangelize every person that we can, your theology is off.
Mike,
all right, that's the bottom line.
I just wanted to say thanks to Mike for that call. I want to, because I got a quick question for you before
yes,
we go. So, all of that being said, what you just said about hell, we can. I want to say something about getting into heaven, which is if yeah, we believe in Christ, if we practice the sacraments,
amen,
and if we're genuine in our love for Christ, we have very good hope that he'll save us. Like
we sure do.
Nobody should
friend,
be like, well, I'm doing all of it, but I still feel no.
Yes,
he's very faithful.
Amen.
Okay.
As Father Vincent Serpa used to say, he's not just going to let you slip into hell.
Yeah.
He loves you so much. He wants you in heaven more than you want to be in heaven. We have to understand that.
Right.
That God's grace is there for you. And as you said, as long as you're cooperating the best way you can and you're calling out to God, you have reason for hope.
That is a nice way to end the work week. Thank you, Tim Staples. I really enjoyed these 2 hours.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
Thank you so much for joining us here on Catholic Answers Live today. I want to remind you that summer sale all weekend. I think I don't have my dates right, but maybe into Monday. But don't forget, everything's on sale at shop.catholic.com. Jesus Christ is the light of the nations. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.